Young ladies, good stuff. Praise the Lord. You have your Bible open to Proverbs chapter number 4. And of course, the Proverbs are instruction given from a parent to a child. And this proverb is no different. The theme of the proverb is something that I want to talk to you about as we consider working with young people. Young people have a hard time finding the path. And we want to help them to do that. Young people struggle with finding the path alone. If left to themselves, oftentimes they will choose their own path. The scripture teaches that over and over again, that they need direction. They need instruction on finding the right path. And so I want to talk to you about that. If you'll notice in verse number 26, it says, "Ponder the path of thy feet." In other words, give consideration. Give some thought to where your path is leading. Where's your path taking you? The path that you're on, the path that you're taking, where is that going to end up? How is that going to work out for you? And that's what the proverb is teaching. If you'll notice in this proverb, this is Solomon speaking. And he's speaking to his children. He's speaking in verse number 1. He said, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father." And every father needs to get involved in helping their children find the right path. Brethren, I started to bring, I had a whole list of statistics. And you know all the statistics, though. Just look around you. Our world is in a mess. Our young people have, by and large, no aim, no direction, no instruction. They're just untrained, no manners, no direction, no guidance. And I'm speaking as a whole. Sure, there's good young people, and I thank God for them. But I'm speaking as a whole. Look at some of the things that have transpired in our country just recently. It's very saddening. And so we have some choices to make. We have choices to make. In our generation, we can either look at the generation that's behind us and the generation that's behind that generation and say, you know what? There's no hope for them. And we can walk away and leave them to themselves. But that's just not the way I'm wired. I want to get involved in helping this young generation find the path that God has for them. You see, I can't train your children for you. It's no one else's place to train your children but you. It's your responsibility to train your children. But we can help, right? Everybody can use the assistance of a Sunday school teacher, a good Sunday school teacher, a good pastor, a good assistant pastor, a good family to influence, a good mentor to mentor you. And so I believe that what is being taught here is you need instruction. Young people need guidance and direction. They're going to come to a place, and this proverb builds until you get into verse number 14, and it's like you have these young people at a crossroads. And it's saying, you know, once a young person gets there, it's too late then. It's too late. If you haven't trained those young people to make the proper decisions and the proper choices, doom is inevitable. Notice what he said in verse number 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. It's like this young man has come to a crossroads, and his father's telling him, hey, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Well, if that young man hasn't received training and instruction, he's going that way. He's going that way. That is the bend of the nature of man. We understand this. We're born into sin. We're going to take the wrong path every time without instruction, without guidance, without teaching, without wisdom, without the Word of God to teach us and to help us to make that right decision. And so let's look at some of the instruction that is given here. There's three things that I want you to notice. First of all, finding the right path. That word keeps coming up, path, way. The way, the path, because it's talks about the journey of a life. And here's a father, and he's telling his children, he's saying, listen, you need to, as you go through life, you need to find the right path. What is God's path for you? Pastor Brandon talked about that's really our goal. For some time now, I've been looking around and I've been wondering, where is a good Christian school in this community? If my children were of school age, where would I want to send my children? So, well, preacher, shouldn't you homeschool them? You know, I think homeschooling's great. As a matter of fact, I did homeschool. Well, I didn't. Sharon did, but we homeschooled. I was a part of it. But not everyone has that opportunity. I think Christian school's a good thing. But where's a good Christian school that you could really recommend to somebody and say, you know, if you'll send your children down to such and such Christian school, they're going to get good training, they're going to get Bible-based training, they're going to get local church, it's a school that's a local church school. Where is that school? Where is that school? In this community. Where are you going to get in your car and drive to that school? I can't name one that is local church, that is God-fearing, that is Bible-based. Not one. And so, it's not that we think that we have all the answers, but God has given us some resources. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some maybe outside of a driving distance. I don't know all the schools around here. There may be one. I don't know. I don't know of one. So, well, preacher, the public school. You think that's the answer? You think the public school system's the answer? You think the public school system is teaching our young people to honor God and honor their parents and love Jesus and read their Bible and do right? Do we, brethren? Absolutely not. The public school system is teaching things that are, listen, it's unconscionable. We couldn't even begin to think about what this system, this Egyptian system is teaching our young people. Amen. Look at our country. Yeah. Look at what it's producing. Look at what we call our educational system, our state-sponsored educational system. Look at what it's teaching and producing. It ought to really get our attention. Say, oh, now, preacher, a little bit of that's not bad. That'd be like saying a little bit of poison is not going to kill you. How much is it going to take? Right? Think about it. We're talking about our children. Our children. Our greatest investment. The hope of tomorrow. The leadership. When we pass off the scene, they're going to fill our shoes. We need to take great interest in the teaching and the training that they receive. He said in verse number 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Notice if you would over in verse number 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Verse number 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. As a father, look at verse number 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee, and I like this, in the right path. As a father, here's a man that could say, I taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. You know, I'm a father. Many of you men are fathers. That's a serious statement. One day we get in the backside of our life and we look back and we say, you know, God placed within the realm of my responsibility some great treasures. And I had an obligation to invest in their life and to give them the opportunity and to point them in the right direction and to put them on the right path and say, son, this is the path that you're to travel. We don't hear much about that anymore. It's almost like we really expect our children to come to church as we do and to turn out right. Brethren, I'm here to tell you now. I've been doing this a long time, and many of you have been in this a long time. And you know what I'm getting ready to say is so. It just doesn't happen that way. There has to be a concentrated effort. Notice what he said in verse number 11. I have taught thee in the right way, or the way of wisdom. I have led thee. I have led thee. In other words, I was walking in the right path for you to follow. There's a difference between teaching in word and teaching by example. The first one is teaching in word. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I imparted to you some things that came to me in my life. But when it comes to this getting on the right path, he said, I have led thee in the right path. It's very important. It's very important. We live in a day where people think it's okay to cheat a little bit. We live in a day of fuzzbuster dads. We live in a day where it's okay to fudge a little bit in this area, in that area. And your children and our children, they're watching. They're watching. And then we wonder, well, what happened to the honesty of my son? Why is my daughter not being totally honest and upfront with me? And we have to kind of look back over our life and wonder, what did I do that they picked up on as I was leading them? Was it in the right path? Right? Absolutely. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher. That's over. I've trained my children, and I feel like that there's nothing I can do. Well, I want you to notice something that I picked up on when I was reading this again. Let me find it here. Look in verse number 3. It said, for I was my father's son. Now, here's something that's very refreshing. Who was Solomon's dad?
David.
Man after God's own heart. And yet David had some not so good moments in his life. Right? Yeah. But he went on to say this in verse number 3. Not only was I my father's son, tender and only beloved, in the sight of my what? Mother. So now here's a man that's instructing in verse number 1 his children, but he's telling them about his parents. Right? He said, you know, my parents didn't get started so good. But God got involved in their life and worked some things out. Aren't you glad God can do that? Aren't you glad God can turn some things around? Now, I'm not standing up here trying to make you feel bad. Maybe you say, well, you know, preacher, my children are out in the world. I don't know. My children's not serving God. My children have no desire to serve God. Well, listen, I'm sorry about that. But I want you to know you need to keep praying and you need to keep working and you need to keep doing what's right, and God will honor that and use that. Here was David and Bathsheba. That's who he's speaking of in verse number 3. He said, I was my father's son. That's David. And he said, tender beloved in the sight of my mom. That's Bathsheba. And they didn't get started out just right. You know the story. And yet, because of God's amazing grace, Solomon could look back and he said, you know what? God brought some good out of that bad situation. And he said, and here I am. And now he said, I'm talking to you, son. Now I'm talking to you because there were some things that though my father, he made some mistakes. And can I tell you, I as a father have made some mistakes. You as a father have made some mistakes. But that doesn't mean that we give up. That doesn't mean to say, well, you know, it's all hopeless now. I can't change anything. Well, sure you can. As a grandfather, I can still get involved in my grandchildren's life. I can still set a good example for them. Amen. Say, well, you know, preacher, your time of influencing your children are done. I'll never believe that. I'll never believe that. And don't you ever believe that. As long as I'm breathing air, as long as I'm alive, I can be an example to my children and to your children and to my grandchildren and to your grandchildren. And you ought to do that as well. The devil wants you to quit. The devil wants you to think, well, you know, you've ruined it, you've messed up, you blew it, it's over. We all mess up. You fall down, get up, dust off, and go on for God, amen. Don't sit there and say, well, you know, it's done, it's final, I've messed up. We've all messed up. The true test of a man's character is not if he's going to mess up. It's what he's going to do when he does. Get up and serve God with your life. Say, well, you know, I can't hardly hold my children to a certain standard, preacher. I didn't do thus and thus. Who told you that? You have every right to hold your children to the standards of this book. Amen. Did you notice what Solomon just said? In verse number 3, he said, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." He says, you know, my dad, he got started. I came into this world in a pretty bad situation here. He said, but my dad, as he got on track, he said he didn't allow that to stop him from teaching me and training me and instilling some things in me. And don't you let it stop you either. Say, well, now, preacher, I've had some weaknesses and I haven't done just, you know, all the way right. But listen, ask God to forgive you and go on and hold your children to the standard of this book right here. Amen. This is the standard right here. This is the standard right here. This book. So what are we going to do? I want you to write down three things. Number one, finding the right path. Finding the right path. Look at verse number 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Fathers, please listen to me. Help your children find the right path. Preacher, I'm just going to roll the dice. You're going to mess up. Your children, without your assistance, God placed your children under your care for you to help them find the right path. Is that what this verse of Scripture says? It certainly is. I have led, he said, thee in the right path. Lead your children. Tell your children what it is to serve God and lead them in that path. Now listen, you can't make your children serve God. Once your children become adults and they get out on their own, listen, you can't, that's over. But you can lead them there and say, now this is the path you ought to go right here. Right? This is the path. Now, that's what I want to do as a pastor. I want to help you. That's what Pastor Brandon, as administrator, there's people in this community. You say, what's the vision of the school? I've had people ask me, what's the vision of the school? Well, our first vision is to help the people of Fellowship Baptist Church. We want to be a come alongside. We want to help. See, a lot of the children we have here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we have many of them that come in on buses and that come in with certain families. They're here for 1 hour, 2 hours on a Sunday morning. That's it. That's it. Very difficult to really make an impact on a life with 2 hours out of a week. Would you agree with that? Very difficult. Brother Terry in Bowdoin made a statement, and I mean, God used that, Brother Terry. He did, to really quicken my mind. He said, what would be wrong with trying to reach the young children of this community? Not talking about those that have gotten up and listen, I'm not saying we don't care about those. Don't misunderstand me. What'd be wrong with starting out first, second, third grade, maybe fourth grade, and just trying to get those children in and trying to teach them and have an impact on their life 5 days a week? Could you imagine? 8 hours a day. Could you imagine what that could do? Could you imagine? If every day, 5 days for 7, 8 hours a day, we had those young people and we were just giving them the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. God says, God says, God says, the Scripture says, the Scripture says, every day. Could you imagine what God could do with that? Every day. I've told you before, the way that you used to reach the family is through the Father. Those days are over. I hope you realize that. Those days are over. Most fathers not even with their family. In our culture, they're not even with their family. The way you reach the family now is through the children. It is. Got to get them when they're young and their minds are impressionable. Right? Got to leave that indelible impression of the Word of God on their mind to help transform that mind and teach that mind. And so I thought about this. I thought, what if we could reach children in verse number 11, I have taught thee in the way. Look at it now. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. What are you going to do with Johnny? Mr. Johnny out here. And he has a son or two sons or three sons. He has absolutely no concern whatsoever on his children getting in the right path. Who's going to help them get on the right path? So, well, maybe they'll end up on the right path, preacher. We don't live by chance. God's called us to reach this community. So, well, we need to do it through soul winning. I understand that. We need to do it through going out in the community. I understand that. How many did you go visit this week? Who's that we? I'm not being mean. I'm just asking the question. Who is we? So we need to make a difference. We need to go to their homes where they are. I agree. But as that we, how is that working out with you? How many people did you tell about Jesus this past week? I'm not fussing at you. I'm being real. We've got to be real. If we think that we're going to change a community with the same old, I don't see it happening. And yet here is an opportunity that I believe that we could reach out and we could take their children. We complain. I've complained over and over again. If you haven't complained about this, I need to see you after the service. I get so upset that our state buses these children in. I used to get upset just riding by bus stops. It used to just infuriate me to see those little children getting on the bus and being bussed down and brainwashed at the Egyptian schools. Am I the only person that had that thought? Like, man, they're bussing them in and they're teaching them to hate God and defy authority and to have no faith and to question everything that's right. It used to tear me up. But just getting angry about it's not going to change anything. Is it? Just saying, hey, I wish it wasn't that way, that's not going to change anything. Here's an opportunity to where maybe we could make a change. We can make a difference. Might not be this year, may not be next year. But I wonder what would happen if we started busting those little first, second, third graders in. Instead of teaching them that they come from a monkey or a single cell amoeba, or that their uncle swung from a tree, or I don't know. Instead of teaching them all that, if we taught them, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right? If we begin to teach them that God loves you, God made you, God formed you in your mother's womb, we begin to teach them creation, we begin to teach them what thus saith the scriptures. We begin to teach them, listen, when you come to the crossroads in your life, when you have real questions, when you're doubting in your life, there's one thing you always need to revert back to. It always needs to be a default in your mind. What saith the scriptures? What does God say? When you're in doubt about any decision, what saith the scriptures? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to teach scores upon scores of little children that? You say, well, preacher, some of them may not stick. Some of them may. Right? We have an opportunity. And I believe that God wants us to seize this opportunity and to come alongside parents. There's people sitting in here in verse number 11. You've done this. You've taught your children in the way of wisdom. Look at verse 11. And you've led them in the right paths. And we want to come alongside you, and we want to be that voice of confirmation saying yes. But what about the families of the little ones and that maybe they don't have that voice? Maybe they're saved and they still don't have that voice. You don't think lost people are the only ones like this, do you? They're saved people. Saved people. People that are saved. They don't train their children. They don't sit down and teach their children the Bible. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And you think with me, how many Christian families you know that are following this? This is the Bible, brethren. We've gotten away from it. Deuteronomy 6. And then I'm going to bring it to a close. I'll give you a couple more quick thoughts. And then I want to bring it to a close. But I want you to look at Deuteronomy 6. This is what the Bible says. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for us? And chapter number 6 of Deuteronomy. Let's begin reading in verse number. We'll begin in verse number 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. God speaking to parents. And he said, sir, ma'am, this should be in your heart. And he said, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Don't think I'm being mean here. Somebody's going to think, man, the preacher, he's mad. I'm not mad. If I'm mad, it's at the devil. I am seeing a generation of church kids that are not getting this. Parents are not sitting down with their children and teaching them. Notice what it said, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Is this going on in our churches today? I want you to know something. When the school starts up, we're not trying to replace you. You still have this responsibility. How many homes do you know where a father calls his family together and says, hey, I'm going to teach you the Bible today. I'm going to teach you some things that God said today that needs to be a part of your life. And I'm going to teach them to you diligently. Look at it. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house. How many folks you know that sit around and talk about the Bible? I'm not talking about your favorite television show now. I'm not talking about some YouTube video. I'm not talking about some Facebook post. The Bible. The Bible. I'm not talking about sports, the weather, a hobby. The Bible. The Bible. It's not happening. It's not happening. You say, preacher, how can you be so sure? Look. Look around you. Look at our communities. Look at our churches. They're dying on the vine. Look at our young people. They have no desire for the things of God. You know why? Listen, you talk to the average young man, the average young lady, and you say, hey, did you read your Bible this week? By the way, doesn't it have to be a young one? Just any Christian, did you read your Bible this week? Well, I was busy. You wasn't too busy for Facebook. You wasn't too busy for your favorite television series. You see? Why? People say, well, I don't know why I don't read the Bible, preacher. Let me help you out some here. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. It is natural for a Christian to desire the Bible. When you don't desire it, guess what? It's because there's an appetite problem. How many of you, when it's dinner time, if you've ate a few donuts, now I don't do this, this is hypothetical. If you've ate a few donuts or some chocolate bars or half a bag of barbecue chips, and I'm just naming this stuff, and then the wife calls and says, hey, dinner's on the table, and you're thinking, well, I'm really not that hungry. What just happened there? Our appetite's been spoiled by junk food. Junk food has spoiled our appetite. And so when it comes time for the sincere, which means pure, unadulterated Word of God, we'd rather hear something else. We'd rather feed on something else. A television program. YouTube video. Right? Yeah. Entertainment. And so he said in Deuteronomy 6, he said, teach diligently these things. Talk with them when thou sittest in thy house and when thou walkest by the way. When's the last time you took a walk with your son or daughter and you just talked about the things of God and what God was doing in their life and how God was working in their heart? When's the last time you sit around the table with your family and just talked about God's working and how God's leading and guiding and decisions that God is leading you in? These are the things that God said, listen, if you want to be sure that your children are walking in the right path, these are things that need to be done. It's not just going to happen by bringing them to church for a few hours a week. Thank God that you're in church. And I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking about Christianity as a whole here. So please don't say, well, the preacher's pointing me out. Well, if you're a Christian, I'm talking to us. This is us. This is on us. He's talking to his people right here, right? Let's read on. When thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Time to go to bed, children. That means it's time for prayer and some Bible, right? Get up in the morning, spend some time in the Word. See, these things are not happening anymore. And we're wondering, what's going on? What's going on with our country? What's going on with our families? Why is there just as much divorce in the church as there is outside the church? Why is there just as much division and separation and anger and fussing and fighting out inside the church as there is outside the church? Because we're not doing what God said do. And until we do, we can't expect the blessing that God said He would give. And so I just want to encourage you now, as we go back to Proverbs, we don't want to think, well, I'll take my children to Sunday school and things will turn out. No, we need some come alongside. And so that was the vision that God gave. Why don't you get involved in helping families and helping children? So we want to do that. Now, what do we want to do? Number one, we want to help you, mom, dad, in verse number 11. We want to help you as you help your children find the right path. And then once they find that path, look in verse number 18. But the path of the just. Look at verse number 19. The way of the wicked. Sounds like the fellows in the crossroads, doesn't it? You've got a choice to make. Once you find the right path, the devil's going to always say, yeah, you could go that way, but now what about this way? So we want to help find the right path. And what's the second thing? Choose the right path. Write that down. You need to teach children. And we want to help by teaching them the Word of God to choose the right path. It's not enough just to find the right path. Can I tell you, there's probably not very many people sitting in the service tonight that doesn't know the right thing to do in many instances. It's choosing to do the right thing, right? There's not very many of us sitting here that would say, you know, I just don't know, should I or should I not drink alcohol? I'm just not sure. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Just make the right choice. But it's going to take more than that. It's going to take training. It's going to go back to verse number 11, teaching the right thing and instilling the right principle and getting God's word and having a defense. You don't wait till you get in a crisis and then say, now, you know, boy, I really need to pray. Well, you should have been praying before that so that you'll know now I'm going to do the right thing. So number one, finding the right path. Number two, choosing the right path. And then finally, following. Now, how am I going to do that? And I'm going to close right here. Following the right path. Look at verse 23 and we'll close as we're going down through here. He said in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. You got to guard your heart. Have to be careful. I tell you, God has really spoke to my heart about just media. Media. Media will get, listen, I'm not liking it. I'm not. I have thoughts. I have had more than one occasion think, you know what? I think I'm about done with media. I mean, they sneak stuff in on you. I don't like it. So, well, then do something about it, preacher. Well, I'll let you know when I do. I'm about done. I've told Sharon more than once, you know what? I'm just about sick of all this stuff. We cut out TV. Done. Done. Cut it out. Done with it. Say, well, you know, preacher, y'all, you know, that's your decision. I know, and I made it. But I'm getting that way with media. Why? Look at what the scripture says right here. Look at it, verse 23. Guard in verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. That means guard. You be careful about what you let get inside of your heart, what you let get inside of you. It will begin to control you. Oh, preacher, I can look at it. It won't bother me. Don't you fool yourself. Don't you fool yourself. I'll look at it just one time. You're feeding the beast. Feeding the beast. Well, I trust my children. I don't have any kind of parental controls on their devices and their media. Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to get into that. Listen, if your children even own one, you really need to take a very long look at what's going on right there. Say amen with me now. I'm telling you right now. You say, oh, preacher, don't you trust your children? Ask them if I trusted them. I don't trust the devil. Amen. So I'm big fella. I can make my own decisions. Hey, the devil will take you down just like that, young man. Hey, listen to me. He'll take you down just like that. So, oh, preacher, I'm strong. You're not stronger than he is. You're not stronger than he is. So don't kid yourself now. He'll make a fool out of you. I'm talking about your enemy. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend because I tell you the truth. But there's an enemy out there that wants to take you down and ruin your life before he can get started good. Dad, help him. Help him, Dad. You say, well, I want to be his friend. Be his father. He'll get a friend. So the scripture says right here, guard. That word keep means guard. Guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then he said, don't only guard your heart. Look at verse 24. He said, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. You be careful about the words and the language you use. I've noticed that a lot of quote-unquote Christians are starting to get really loose in their language. It's downright cursing and profanity and vulgarity. And the Word of God says that we ought to season our speech with salt and use good, kind, edifying words, doesn't it? Yes. And so be careful about the words you use. Don't be using slang, gutter language. It's not becoming to you as a believer. Amen. Look at verse 25. Let thine eyes. So what's he talked about? The heart. Verse 23. Verse number 24. The mouth. The lips. Verse 25. The eyes. He said, do you look straight on? The devil will say, hey, look over there. Don't you look over there. Well, I'm just going to cut my eye. Don't cut your eye. Right? You be careful what you look on. It'll leave an image that you'll want to follow up on. It's not good. So what's happening here? He's saying you need to find the right path, and then you need to choose the right path, and then you need to follow the right path. But in order to follow it, you're going to have to put some things in check. Your heart, your mouth, your eyes. And then he said in verse number 26, ponder the path of thy feet. Take note of it, okay? Say, preacher, what's that have to do with the school? It has everything to do with the school. Who's going to teach? Who's going to help teach these young men and young ladies? Who's going to help teach them? We have this truth that needs to be imparted into their lives. So, well, you know, isn't Sunday school working? Sure it's working. Thank God for Sunday school. Thank God for the services that we have. But I sure would like to have the children for 7-8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. Could you imagine the impact we could have on young lives? I think that we would see great reward. And so I'm asking you to pray with me. I want to impact the lives of young people in such a way that they won't just be religious and have a little form of godliness. That's not what this is about. There's some folks that I'm just 100% sure, don't get this wrong, but I want you to listen very carefully now. We're not running a reformatory. That's not what this is about. I want to run a tight ship. I want to teach young people when an adult walks in the room, you stand to your feet, you look that adult in the eye, and you give them honor and respect. Amen. When you answer an adult, you say, yes, sir. Not yep. Amen. You say, no, ma'am. That's right. When you're being spoken to, don't you walk away. You stand there and you look that person in the face and you carry on a conversation. These are things that are simple, but we've gotten far away from it in our society. And I want to get back to that. I want to get back to teaching just common courtesy and manners, character, respect, honor. These are very important things. So, well, preacher, we'll run people off. Don't kid yourself. They'll be lined up to get in this place. Now, I don't believe it, preacher. You come see me in a few years and we'll have another conversation about it. I just believe there's people that are starving for what is right. So I'm not. Yeah, I know. You've been eating too many potato chips and donuts. You've been feeding yourself with that junk food. You don't want the pure adulterated. But if you ever get a taste of it, it's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Nothing else will do. you ever get a taste of the good stuff, that old junk food won't work. Amen? And so that's our goal. That's our vision. Let's train up some servants of God with manners and courtesy and character and honor and respect. You say, preacher, can it be done in 2021? It can indeed. It can indeed. And I think you know that it can. You see, I want every young person as I close this to look right up here at the preacher, because I want to tell you something. It's not your fault. A lot of it's not your fault. A lot of our young people never have been trained. Isn't that a shame? Never been trained. Now, if you've been trained and you go against it, you're rebellious, and God's going to judge you for it. But if you've never been told, I'll never forget, one of the strongest rebukes that I got was from an aged woman. Wasn't even kin to me. Meredith, she was giving Meredith piano lessons. You can stand to your feet. And I corrected Meredith. I mean, I was stern with her. And she went ahead, this aged lady, she went ahead and finished what she was doing. And after the lesson, I was her pastor. She said, Pastor, can I speak to you? And I said, sure. She said, I'd like to. And she just went through this big apology. You know, I don't want to get out of place, and I don't want to be out of line, but it's something I want to tell you. And I said, okay. She said, it's better to give instruction with correction. I said, okay. She said, I noticed that, you know, when you dealt with Meredith, you gave her correction, but you didn't give her instruction. Now, in my flesh, I wanted to say, I think about the best thing you could do right now is mind your own business and let me raise my kids. But she was right. She was right. What are you going to do with that? And she did it in respect, and I knew she did. She did it because she cared. I said, okay. And I never forgot it. It's kind of difficult to correct somebody when you haven't instructed them to begin with. Isn't that right? See, we're getting mad at our young people. We get mad when we see them act the way they act. But my question is, what kind of instruction are they getting? You know, now if they're being instructed and they're just going against it, well, okay, now. But what kind of instruction are they really receiving? I don't know. I'm not saying in your home. I'm talking about our country now. I'm talking about our world. And we're in a mess. We've got to start instructing these young people. Then if they go astray, well, now correction is in order. And so we want to be there to give proper instruction. We want to help you to do that in your home. All right? You say, well, preacher, I've gotten a little loose in that. Well, I hope you'll get that straightened out. I do, because it's very important. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the pianist to play.